According to the fullness of times, of the word, the testimony, the covenants, and the cleansings, God has given his servants and prophets meals to serve his people, that darkness in men might be destroyed. Behold, the Lord's table is laden with meals to build a generation of overcomers. From this table comes the ministration of grace from God's servant. Listen and be blessed.
Father, I just want to thank you for the help I have trusted you for. In the next few minutes, I ask that you possess my heart. I ask that you, by the help of your spirit, you speak to your dear children, your dear servants. I ask for that comfort of the spirit. I ask that you will have your way. Help me to follow your spirit. Help me to discern the movement of the wind of the spirit in the mighty Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, let's read Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Amen. May you never be familiar with that verse of scripture. Amen. When Paul was making this declaration, he had scars to buttress it. There were spirits that have been overcome when he was making this statement, and he wasn't reading it like we do. It was a declaration. It was a proclamation. It was a trumpet. He was saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it has cost him his life. It has cost him what the Lord has brought to our understanding as small debt. It has cost him what was once a profit. What was once his life. Amen. So it says, there, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Amen. While I sat there, some things I would say began to come to me. And one of them was, whose heart, not just their lips, it is a saying of the heart. Spirits will respect you if you just quote these scriptures. If it's not a saying of your heart. Somewhere, I think in Isaiah chapter 14, it says, I think verse 13 or so, it said, thou art said in thy heart. That was by prophetic spirit. Isaiah was able to pick what led to Lucifer's fall. He says, for thou hast said in thy heart. So this is a saying of the heart, because God had possessed his heart. Amen. I will ascend into heaven. I will. That was another I. That was the old man, an old creature. Just like we have in Galatians chapter 5, chapter 2, the life I now live. So this is a saying of the heart that spirits can't ignore. When I sat there, one of the things that came to me was that one of the people whose heart said this was Father Abraham. His heart made this declaration. After how long? Not after 5 years, not after 10 years, not after 20 years. After about 24 to 25 years. That's why in Genesis chapter 17, the Bible says there, it says somewhere, I think, yeah, in verse 2 or 3, it says, now my covenant is with you. So it's a saying of the heart when you have the covenant of life and peace. When your heart has a new spirit. Yeah, that's it, verse 4. If you can read from verse 1, you'll see the background. God had dealt with a fear and was about to deal with a fear. God had dealt with a love and was about to deal with a love. Why? The Lord in wisdom. And what I'm about to say is what many of us who have been able to, who the Lord has been able to bring to the sanctuary over the years and now and will bring, that's what we all have in common. What is this? The Lord will Always look for something you desire the most, because that is what he can use to teach you faith and patience. Moses, he desired to be a deliverer. God found something he can use to teach him faith and patience for the next 40 years. God knows what you can, what you won't give up on. For some is ministry. For some is in their career path. So you will have to always look for to bring us to a place where we have this inheritance. When Paul was speaking, he had an inheritance. And he was on course to having the next inheritance. That's why Romans chapter 1 talked about that. Amen. So Paul was speaking because he had inherited a life, because God had been able to disown, help him to disinherit a life. So in that Genesis chapter 17, let's see that. It says in verse 1, 2, okay, and when Abraham was 99 years old. Can you see how long he journeyed to a place where he could now say, I am not, he was not also ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Many of the things he was saying, it was the spirit of Christ in him that was speaking, including the conversation in chapter 17 where the Bible says he fell. Something had collapsed, a building that was in charge of his former conversation. A building called sin had collapsed. That's why he fell. So give me verse 1, 2 quickly. It says, when Abraham was 99 years old, that's the end of man. That's when a heart can say, I am not ashamed. So what Abraham was saying here, and what Paul was also saying, was that there were some particular experiences under the sun that the Lord permitted in wisdom, because that's the only way he could use to save him from his former inheritance. So for the Hebrew church, and for the likes of the church in 1 Peter, who were scattered abroad, Bithynia, Asia, it took them some 30 years for them to get to the junction in the spirit, for them to get to Zion on the average. Why? It takes time to disinherit our first inheritance, which is what the world, I call it the first expression of the world. The first promise of the world. Why? The world also promises a life that now is, which is sin. Sin is the life that now is. Sin is what informed our former conversation. And what I'm saying is that for the Lord to collect sin from a soul, he has to look for one thing that he desires the most. One thing he won't give up on. And that's the thing he will now use to teach such a person faith and patience. And he's in the process of doing so, because of course, you know, there's a faith and patience even in Christ. We know the book of Hebrews was trying to provoke those who had the faith and patience in Christ to come to a season. It was refined to those in Hebrews chapter 11 who, through a higher faith and patience, it was a divine motivational message for those who were spiritual, whose faith and patience needed to be upgraded with a better and enduring substance, so that they can now be utterly or fully fearless. So it took 24 years. I've been in these waters by God's grace about 25 years. 25 years. I remember when we used to have the meetings there way back in 2001. Here. It took time. It takes time to disinherit sin. And one reason why it takes time is because there is something that is because of what is defined as life to the soul. The world makes sure that it redefined things as life. That's why as long as you can take thought for those things, is a proof that you have not been empowered. As long as you can take thought for the first expression of what Matthew chapter 6 was calling your life. That's the life that the outer court and the holy place wants to collect. That's the life that brings, that's the life that we are meant to disinherit as we allow the Lord lead us in ways that it will bring many of such things that the nation of the Gentiles seek as additions. So the reason why people seek that thing as their life is because of a fear. So that was the fear that they had collected from Father Abraham in this season. Is the first version of fear. It precedes what Hebrews chapter 2 called the fear of death. And so in verse 4, let's now see verse 4. So that says, it says, behold, my covenant is with you. So it was on the basis of that, that Paul, Abraham could say, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? The world raised a lifestyle, a standard. And that's why Jesus said, they that shall live godly shall suffer what? Persecution. As long as you don't want to conform to that life, you have to suffer. Your resume, your spiritual resume must not be lacking in the sufferings that will make you a Christ. There's the sufferings of those who are Christ. Those who are Christ who are coming to glory. There's suffering to clean the soul. They must take you through seasons, experiences. And you must be able to defend the fact that I am not ashamed of those dealings. I'm not ashamed of the disdain that the world has cast. I'm not ashamed of the process. And those are the seasons when the Lord will seem not to answer our prayers because he has found what to use to collect the world that now is, that is in our custody. So it should not have taken 20 years. Like I tell the younger generation now, I said it should not take you as much as 15 years to get to where we got to. Because why? Because right now you have many witnesses. There are many people in this community whose life is evidently saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Their heart is saying it, their feet is saying it, their conversation is saying it. In our time, there were few. God was just beginning, as it were. A walk in the midst of, our generation. Amen. Praise Jesus. So when Paul was saying this, he had counted losses. Why? There is a life around those things we have not counted as loss. That's where sin hides. That's where sin lives. So for him, in Philippians chapter 3, thank you, it talked about, for example, verse 5, it talked about things that why he did all this was because he was looking for a name. That's the inspiration of sin. That's how sin motivates the soul. And that's why when God came to Abraham, he says, I will make your names great. Why? Before then, sin has been promising to make men's name great. Circumcised the 8th day. Of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. So this is a name that sin used to lead him. He wanted to make a name for himself. Amen. So when he was being called to serve, that nature in him was what God used to lead him, like he did for Moses. That desire to be a deliverer, God found what to use to teach him, like I said earlier, faith and patience. So there was a desire in him to be a savior. And that potential is in every man. Why? Every man is created in the image of God after his likeness. Meaning every man who attains image and likeness will become saviors. So that means all of us have something in common. We are all potential saviors. And every potential savior is somebody whose name is meant to be made great. So what troubled So what happened to Moses was that what he was seeking in another way was what God in mercy now later interrupted and took him through the way. So that way is where the Lord will use what Hebrews chapter 11 later called the reproaches of Christ. You see, one reason why, for example, we recognize elders in this community is because they have the works. They have endured, they have borne their cup. They have taken the cup of the Lord. They have allowed the Lord used reproaches, the reproaches of Christ, to deliver them from sin. You say sin is a reproach. So to deal with the reproach, full nature that sin brought, God has to use what Hebrews chapter 11 called the reproaches of Christ, greater riches, which is God leading us in a particular way. That's where they remit the world from the soul. The world that mostly now is. The world called small death. So when Paul was speaking there, he had the witness of the Holy Ghost concerning what he was saying. That I am not ashamed of what the Lord took me through to collect small debt from me. What previously separated me from the Lord, I'm not ashamed of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then in chapter 2 Timothy chapter 1. That's after the Lord has been able to use a particular way. They call it the wilderness. You can see that for Abraham, for Moses, it was 40 years. After God has been able to use the wilderness to collect a way from the soul. A way. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Look at that. See why even the churches in the book of Revelation, God had to encourage them to endure the cup that he had measured. Because there's a cup that Paul had drank of when he was saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. In the book of Matthew also, he called it the cup of the Lord. Let's see that book of where it says, this cup is given for the remission of your sins. It's in Luke. And I think it's in Matthew. Let's see Luke rendition. Let's see what we have in common. Let's see what many believers who are not in these waters have negotiated. The reason why many people have not given a right hand of fellowship to what the Lord is doing amidst is because they can see that you are drinking a particular cup. You are carrying a cross. Okay, let's see the previous verse or the next verse. Verse 27 said, for this is my blood. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. Paul had drank, when he was saying that in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, he had drank that cup. Why? It's by drinking of a particular cup that the Lord, through his spirit, measures out that they collect sin from the soul. Pastor Thompson was speaking earlier about a particular season, you know, even when he was a graduate, you know, for like some 5 years, you know, what he endured, you know, with his wife, that, what they call it, lowly estate. He said he has regarded his handmaiden of lowly estate. He said, let the brother of low estate rejoice. Who kept them in that low estate? The Lord. What did the Lord want to do? He wanted to disarm them of sin. So a lot of times, not economy. It's because the Lord has brought a subjective lead in their way, and because he wants to collect the world that now is. When he has collected the world that now is, there is a world to come. Like there is a life that now is, which was Christ. Which, by virtue of drinking of this cup, you come to a place where, like Paul, you can say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's an inheritance. You have what the Lord is trying to say in our midst. You have that building, Acts chapter 20, verse 28, has been activated. I commend you to God and to the word of grace, which is able to build you and give you an inheritance. That's the proof that you have been disarmed of the world that now is. The world that troubled many of us. The world that led me, I went to St. Joseph's College yesterday, and I I felt a weight again. I remembered what sin did, what the world that now is, what it did to my soul. It took me almost close to 20 years to deal with or to undo that work. In the hostels then, we used candle to write on the wall, Pascal reigned. I didn't know it was sin speaking. Sin was writing that Pascal reigned. In a space of 2 years, less than 3 years, sin wrought all manner of work in my soul. No wonder in the same space of about 3 years, we saw what sin and iniquity did to Judas Iscariot. Amen. So give me that look. So let's see what we have in common. What the Lord used to collect the world, the life that now is, which is sin. Many of us did not get to a place where we're fellowshipping with what God's servant earlier in the day called the whole world light in wickedness. You need to journey to a place of being ungodly. It takes time to journey beyond Egypt to Sodom. Somewhere the Lord is able to limit many from getting to that junction. But I'm saying that the journey to that junction, wherever the Lord can stop the soul from that journey, it can take 10, 15 years. So there's a reason why even Father Abraham, it took 25 years. And that experience was the best thing that was happening to him. So I tell people, I say a lot of times, the things we despise the most, they are the things that are most useful to God to save us from the life that now is. Which is sin, or the first expression of the world. So let's now see. Quickly. He said, and he took the cup and gave the thanks. He says, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom. So the first cup he was referring to is what some of us by God's grace have been able to drink into. That cup was what Father Abraham was drinking in that 25 years before he got to a place where God could say, my covenant is with you. That he got to a place where he could say, you have the covenant of life and peace. So that was the junction for the first time where Abraham's heart was saying something that is not ashamed. So it was Christ in him that was speaking. So after Christ has now journeyed to a soul and he can say so, there is now a world that is yet to come. That's the world that Paul was warning those little children, young men, and even fathers to love not. That's the world that can still appear. That's the world that they built Jesus against, even in the house of Joseph. In fact, that was why the father said concerning him, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He had gotten to a place where he loved not the world, or he hated the world. So those who hate the world, they're actually sons of the living God. Or beloved sons. Men like Daniel. So check their consecration. Their consecration could be traced to the cup that the Lord measured to them. So there was, after Paul had drank that cup, after the likes of Father Abraham had drank the particular cup that brought him to a place where his heart could say, there was a saying his heart could not generate. There was a saying, because we overcome by our sayings. He says, seeth the Lord. Seeth the Lord. Seeth the Lord Almighty. So what your heart is saying tells us what you have overcome. That was said in thy heart. The sayings of your heart tells us the understanding that has tabernacled in your heart and what how you have warred with that understanding. So Paul later in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 8, he was now introducing, he was now making reference to another cup that he needs to drink, which is what in Timothy, yeah, he says, we call it the sufferings of Christ, of those who are Christ, which is the same cup that the Lord brought in Genesis chapter 17 when he appeared. Every time the Lord appears, when you have profited with a particular appearance, either an appearance unto sin, which is to deal with what you first called life, or which is sin, when the Lord appears, he measures out a cup. So every one of us here, you know what you are going, you know, some of those prayers that it's like it has taken the Lord 2, 3, 4, 5 years plus to answer is a particular cup. He said, drink it all, meaning endure it. It's the only technology for collecting sin from the soul. It's the only technology. And I tell people, when such season starts, when God officiates such trials, you are not the end of the trial can only be influenced by your obedience. And the only person that can delay it is you, not a pastor, not the devil. So he took the cup, okay, and then, so another season now came, where, so as many, so what is happening right now, for example, in this nation, I can tell you, many of the reactions from the gates of hell against Nigeria as a nation, against the church in Nigeria, is because he knows when the cup, I'm about to read off in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 8, is being measured. And he knows that if men can drink that cup and drink it all, like he said here, he said he desired that they drink this cup with him in the Father's kingdom. Men are drinking of that cup right now. And Satan knows it. And he knows that, like it was for the seven churches, for some of them, some sin were struggling with drinking that cup. He knows that if they can drink that cup, if they can drink it all, they will have all things. And he says, He that overcometh, Pastor Timothy was talking about, you overcome by having all things, and when you overcome through having all things, you will have what is called all things. So Satan right now, the primary reason for the pressure we are facing in Nigeria, is because he can see that another cup is being administered to those who have experienced the first remission of sins. He can see that men, by virtue of drinking the cup that the Lord is measuring through this appearing, through the downloads of understanding that is coming away, is bringing men to a place where they will be empowered to hate wickedness. They will be empowered to love not the world. They will be brought to a place where firstly, they will be sons of the living God or beloved sons of God. And God mentioned that he showed us that there were men in Old Testament that also drank that kind of cup in a shadow. Men like Daniel. Some days ago, I read through and I saw that the secret of Daniel was his consecration, was what he defined as life. And because of what he defined as life, he was fearless. So, and also that drinking the cup that the Lord wants to administer, like he later did when he came in James chapter 17, was to deal with another fear. That's why it says, fear not. So even after your heart can say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, of Christ, your heart can still handle a saying. Your heart can still speak against those elders of hell. And that's why the Lord was saying to us earlier yesterday that we need another building. Because the former building is just a foundation for the next building. And what I'm saying is that when that building has been completed, firstly, the first half of that building, that's where you have a son like Jesus was. So the feet at Jordan was the feet of somebody who had been made fearless. They had dealt with fear. They had brought our Lord Jesus to a place where there was something he loved. So the presence of fear, the presence of what makes us doubt, the presence of is what makes us keep a life. And it's the presence of that thing that they want to deal with by giving us a particular cup, by leading us in a particular way that will make us to inherit the way. So the construction of that building you have been hearing is the construction of a way. So he made known his way to Moses. So right now as I'm speaking, God has been making known his ways to us. God has been constructing a higher edifice, building upon that former foundation that gave us the audacity to say, that gave some the audacity to say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Meaning in due time, as many have said so, a time is coming, like Paul later got there. A time came, he could say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of God. That's why it was on that strength he was saying in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. He said, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. There was something the Lord himself for the first time inherited as a testimony. There was something that raised him as a witness that the gospel of God, that a man can remain under the spell of the gospel. A man can remain under the captivity of the gospel. I'm seeing that in the life of God's servants in the house and beyond. I'm seeing how men are giving themselves to the spell or to the captivity of the gospel. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Can you see that's the secret of his consecration. The secret of Daniel's consecration was that he subscribed to becoming a prisoner. That's the secret of God's servants in the house and in these waters. Why are they able to bless us the way they blessed us? Because they have enrolled as prisoners of Christ. So if it's their secret, that means it should be our secret. And the only way it will be our secret is if we can allow the Lord to measure out a particular cup to us. If we can allow the Lord to lead us in a way that he will disarm what has not been previously disarmed from us. It says, nor of me his prisoner. There's nothing exciting about this. Read the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1 downwards to chapter 6. You will see what it entails to be a prisoner. When you read it, there's nothing exciting about it. Yet, that is the way that they will now further build a soul against what the Lord has been saying to us as the gates of hell. Meaning that's how we're going to be built to become an elder of the kingdom. So this was an elder speaking. Amen. It says, but be thou a partaker. He said, take your portion of the afflictions of the gospel. Take your cup. Let me tell your neighbor, take your cup. There is something the Lord is serving. There is a demand he's placing on you. That is your cup. Use it to experience remission of either sin and death or of hell and death. He said, without partaking of the affliction of the gospel, according to the power of God. This is not the same power of God he was talking about in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He had experienced that power. This is more of the eternal power. The power to come to the eternal God. So meaning, there are two experiences of power the soul must experience in the days of his flesh. What makes your heart be able to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel? When you say so, there are some spirits that There are some things in the heaven over us that is shaking. When your heart can consistently say so, you are saying that faith to all nations can be obeyed. Spirits recognize it and is the passport to overcoming, firstly in the sanctuary. But what I'm saying is that in this season, God wants to raise those whose heart has been able to handle that saying. Their heart needs to say something else. Paul's heart had said so, and he was preparing the heart of Timothy. Why? Oh, the warfare to overcome the world is a warfare of the heart. What can your heart disagree with consistently? He told the church, one of the church in the book of Revelation, he says, fear not what will come upon you. Meaning they were not yet fully fearless. Meaning drink this cup. Endure this reproach to the end. Endure this contradiction. Why? A lot of times when God is measuring that, especially the second cup I'm talking about, he wants to raise you as an example for in that generation. So many of these we are going through and will go through, it's not just for our sake. It's for the sake of those that are tied to our loins. It's for the sake of those who the Lord will have use our life to signify the gospel. It's for the sake of those who God wants to comfort because of what we have endured. Amen. 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 And I believe when a soul gets there, he can say, like Paul said in Hebrews chapter 13, yes, thank you. I'm not ashamed of what man can do to me. This was the word of God speaking through Paul after he had remained a prisoner of the gospel. So this conference is actually preparing. What we're actually saying by agreeing with what the Lord is saying is that we want to enlist as prisoners. We're actually agreeing that our will be imprisoned. We're actually agreeing that we'll lose custody of our will. We'll lose the grip on our will. He says, so we may be able to... The previous verse? Yeah, okay. So, okay. He says... It says, for he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So you see, this saying must, the heart must believe it until the heart can leave it, until it can be a saying of the heart. When Paul was writing, it was his heart speaking. He says, as in water, face answered to face, so also the heart of man to man. So it was his heart speaking. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 talked about, you know, we have this ministry written in the hearts of men. So it was with what had been written on his heart that had become an inheritance, that was what he was using to write on men's heart. So a time is coming when, by virtue of enduring the cup, like there's a cup that the Lord is having us to endure through what's happening in Nigeria, but we need to take that cup. I see how by God's grace, some of the elders in the land, they are praying, they are laboring. It's part of taking that cup. It's part of bearing the burden of the Lord for the nation, concerning the nation. He says, so we may boldly say. That's the same way the heart of the tribal children said to Nebuchadnezzar, our God whom we serve. It's their heart that was speaking, not their lips. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. So that means the drinking of the cup that the Lord is administering to this company of overcomers is what will make us fearless. So he now told that church, he said, fear not what will come upon you. So that means what they are not fully overcome is fear. When I see a man like Reverend Kaude Oyugoke, and even a man like Reverend Busui, and many that is raising, I see men who God has helped to be fearless. What does it mean to be fearless? To be fearless is to love not your life. I try to ask myself, what is powering Reverend Kaude Oyugoke? his ministry, his passion, his what have you, what is fueling it? One day the Lord helped me with the answer. What was the answer? That it was, it's the love of God that is fueling it. So it's that love that makes the soul fearless. What makes you fearful is because of what you still love. When the Lord can deal with every love you have, you will become fearless. There's a way somewhere, I can't doubt the fact that I have a measure of fearlessness that can be traced to the gospel of Christ. But I know by virtue of the cup the Lord is bringing my way and will bring my way, he wants to upgrade that software of fearlessness to that which will help me be able to handle what is called the fear of death. The fear that makes men still love their lives, which was the struggle amongst most of the seven churches. But that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. I said to someone earlier, I said, I perceive that one of the things the Lord is doing amidst is what will help him when he comes to our midst, like he's coming. So he will have a cause to say, I know thy works. And he won't find flaws. He won't have commands. He won't have reservations. He'll be able to say to us, like he said to the Philadelphia church, I have set before you an open door. He will bring another understanding. And there will be one of those who are that we, that it will set concerning us, he has given us an understanding. I believe the Lord is bringing an understanding. And we'll take our portion of it. In the mighty of our Lord Jesus. Come, just give thanks to the Lord. Let's just thank the Lord for the cup. This cup. Can we just say, Lord, we welcome this cup. We welcome this cup. Yes. He said, the Lord is my helper. He will help us to take this cup. Our God's servants have drank different cups and they are still drinking of a particular measure so that they can come to a greater measure in the spirit. That thing you despise the most is a cup.
We believe you have been fed by this inspiring ministration from God's servant. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our special meetings? You can join us every Wednesday for the special teaching series by 6 p.m. or on Sundays by 8 a.m. online or on-site at Eternal Life Embassy Assembly around you. For inquiries, call 0704-921-2074 or 0703-395-8818 or visit www.fmeli.org. Remain blessed.